Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwohl, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 22:28 says, "Do not move the ancient boundary marker that your fathers set up." Now, before we get into some of the historical background behind this proverb, what immediately jumps out to me as the main thrust of this proverb is respecting other people's personal property. I can still hear my parents telling me as a kid over and over again, "Now don't go touching what's not yours, you hear?" Sometimes I was being just inquisitive, but at other times I actually wanted for myself what somebody else had. You know, as a kid, your morals are all warped and geared towards selfishness. When it comes to personal belongings, it is as if they are founded upon the principle, "I saw it first. Therefore, it's mine and I get to keep it." It is as if for a young kid, everything in the world is up for grabs. All you have to do is set your eyes on something and then claim it, and it's yours. I remember this one time when I was about 10 years old. I got invited to go to a friend's house from school. As we were hanging out in his room, I noticed a pile of foreign coins on his dresser. They were probably from his dad, who I knew traveled a lot for business. But I thought they were so cool. And so when my friend wasn't looking, I quickly swept them off the dresser and slid them into my pocket. I soon left my friend's house and secretly took them home with me. At my house, I was admiring them in my room when my mom came in and then asked me where I got them from. I looked at her a little stunned because I had not really thought about how to explain where I got them from without insinuating the fact that I had stolen them. So after a brief moment of trying to think of the best answer I could, I looked at my mom and I told her that I found them in a trash can up at the town park yesterday in an empty bag of potato chips. My mom replied, "Really? They were just lying there in the bag of chips?" And I immediately responded and said, "Yeah, I guess someone didn't want them and just decided to throw them away." I'm not sure if my mom truly believed me or not, but she left my room and I turned my attention back to being infatuated with the spoils of my crime. Getting back to Proverbs, the proverb talks about, "Do not move the ancient boundary marker that your father set up." What are these ancient boundary markers that it's talking about? Well, this refers to ancient landmarks that were set up during the time of Joshua, when the Israelites entered into the promised land of Canaan, and when the territories that would be given to each of Israel's tribes were decided by casting sacred lots. Furthermore, in addition to the tribal boundary markers that marked off the place where each tribe would settle and reside, there were also private land boundary markers of either stone pillars or large rocks that were erected between various properties to designate the area of legal ownership for each individual family. However, we know that the proverb is primarily speaking about the boundary markers that were first established by the Israelite tribal leaders when they settled in the land of Canaan, because they're described as the boundary markers that your fathers set up. The term fathers is a generic term that just means ancestors, and it often designates the patriarchs of Israel, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But at other times, it can also refer to the children of Jacob, whose name was Israel, and the children of Jacob formed the founding patriarchs of the nation of Israel, that is, the original 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, according to which each tribe was subsequently named. Both private and tribal boundary markers played an incredibly important role in ancient Near East cultures, and people had great respect for them. Without this mutual respect between neighbors and within the culture, land ownership would essentially be constantly shifting. But we're not talking about someone moving a boundary marker like 25 feet, which anyone could easily identify as a property violation. Rather, it was more likely that a boundary marker was gradually moved a little bit year after year, but only to the degree that it would not be easily noticeable. Over time, then, it could add up to a sizable change in one's property. Unfortunately, in the ancient world, this crime was quite easy to achieve and relatively difficult to prove that it had been committed. To move a boundary stone was an intentional attempt to seize land. And when it came to the tribal boundary markers, this represented a direct violation of Israel's covenant with God and the distinctive allotment that was given as a heritage to their family. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14 says, "You must not move your neighbor's boundary marker that the men of former times have set as boundaries in your inheritance that you will inherit in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you to possess." God established these property boundaries so that there would be justice and fairness among his people. And therefore, tampering with a boundary marker was not just a crime against your neighbor and relative in the case of Israel, but was actually an offense against God himself by seeking to alter God's established order that was meant for the well-being of his people. This gradual movement of boundary markers happens all the time in our world today, just not with large physical stones that mark land territories. For example, a few years ago, a friend of mine, let's call him Dave, he was doing freelance design work. He had a contract with a company to provide a graphic design for an ad campaign. The scope of the work and compensation was fair. Dave began to work diligently to complete the project on time, and the work went well overall. But near the end of the project, after Dave had submitted the work, the company asked him to include a few extra marketing assets that were outside the original agreement and would take additional time to develop. Dave was torn. "It's not a ton of extra work," he thought. "They probably expect that I would just do it. So maybe I should." But it gnawed at him. Then he realized they were trying to move the boundary marker in the contract. If he said nothing and did the extra work anyway, he'd set a new precedent. More work for less pay. And the acceptableness of a blurred line of understanding in the agreed-upon work. So he decided to reiterate the contract agreement, and he gently pushed back. Surprisingly, the client was completely understanding and respected him for it. They even hired him again later, this time with clearer terms and expectations laid out ahead of time. Now, Dave could have been generous and offered to do the additional work at no extra charge. Yes, he could have. And it would have been perfectly acceptable if he decided to do that for them. But it's also perfectly acceptable and a good practice of integrity to uphold the extent of the original agreement as well. But when it comes to establishing a healthy business relationship, the better option is probably to go with maintaining adherence to what was agreed upon so that both parties understand the importance of keeping the highest ethic in conducting business together. In Proverbs, there's another similar verse to Proverbs 22:28, and that is Proverbs 23, verses 10 and 11, where it says, "Do not move an ancient boundary marker, and do not enter into the fields of orphans, for the one who redeems them is strong. He will defend their case against you." Here, the ancient boundary marker is likely referring to a private land marker rather than the original tribal boundary marker when the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, since the second half of verse 10 talks about also not entering into the fields of orphans, which doesn't really relate to the tribal properties, but plots of land that are owned by individuals. We can notice that there is an emphasis in verses 10 and 11 on prohibiting trespassing into the fields of orphans. This additional remark is really not unexpected or out of place, since Proverbs puts a lot of emphasis on protecting the rights of those who are weak or powerless in society. While in modern day, developed societies, especially Western civilizations, every citizen essentially has equal rights in their country, generally speaking. However, in the ancient world, this was not the case. Often, the poor and powerless in society were deprived of many of the rights that were afforded to other citizens, primarily because of their inability to have them enforced, either financially or socially. Particularly in the ancient world, women and children were not afforded the same rights as adult males when it came to property ownership. With few exceptions, land ownership was typically afforded only to adult males. Now, while there are certain cases where women were allowed to inherit and own land, for example, in like Numbers chapter 27, these were rather rare. But the more important case that the proverb focuses on is children whose parents have died, and therefore they are left without guardians to protect their rights. Young orphans would be easily susceptible to having their land be taken or reduced, since they would not have the means to protect their property or to prosecute a violator who encroached on their land. However, the proverb stipulates in the second half, in verse 11, that if the boundary markers that were meant to secure the property for the family failed, that Yahweh himself, that is, the one who redeems them, will act in their defense and punish the oppressors. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, God tells Israel directly that they must not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. The imagery here of Yahweh God becoming a legal advocate and like an attorney for the orphans and defending them in court, essentially winning the case on their behalf, is a metaphor for God's condemnation on those who attempt to exploit and take advantage of the weak and powerless, such as the orphans, and his vindication of their innocence. What the proverb is affirming is that God's justice will prevail, and he will be the guardian that the orphans lack, and will see that their plight is not overlooked and disregarded. Ultimately, God's justice is an eschatological reality that will take place at the end times judgment. But the proverb is not beyond suggesting that God's judgment can fall on evildoers in the present age, who take advantage of the weak and vulnerable in society. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to use an article from the New York Post about a recent incident that happened earlier this summer in 2025. In a picturesque town on the island of Nantucket, Massachusetts, Patricia Belford, a homeowner on the island, was informed that 16 mature trees, towering specimens of cedar, cherry, and Leyland cypress, had been cut down from her property without her knowledge or consent. These were not recent plantings or incidental brush. They were landmarks, lovingly cultivated by the Belford family since the 1970s, forming a lush green barrier that provided shade, privacy, noise reduction, and adding beautiful character to the property. They were more than merely ornamental. They stood as silent guardians of the Belfords' estate and legacy. The alleged perpetrator was Jonathan Jacoby, a neighboring homeowner with ambitions to market his property for nearly $10 million. In 2009, the house was listed for only $1.8 million. Seeking to enhance the value of his home and advertise sweeping ocean views from his house, Jacoby allegedly trespassed onto the Belford land and personally chopped down the 16 trees. He then hired a landscaper to remove the debris, quietly and quickly, before anyone could notice. It was only when Patricia Belford's property manager, Matt Arisman, arrived and caught the landscaper in the act of cleanup that the truth came to light. The lawsuit claims Jacoby's actions were deliberate and calculated, and only a couple months after he cut down the trees, he listed his property, highlighting unobstructed oceanic vistas as a major selling point, views that were previously impossible before the trees were cut down. Investigations are ongoing and the charges are reportedly pending, but Patricia Belford is seeking over $1.4 million in damages, estimating the value of each tree at nearly $486,000 under Massachusetts law, which triples the penalties for willful destruction of trees on another's land. This incident is not just a story of property violation, it's a moral cautionary tale. The ancient landmark in Proverbs refers to the boundary markers of the forefathers of Israel that indicated their inheritance and the justice and respect of what belonged to others. And moving the stones or the boundary markers was tantamount to theft and a deep disrespect for the social order of their nation. Today, these types of boundary markers may take the form of laws or agreements, or in the case of Patricia Belford, her trees. But the principle is the same, is that we are to honor the established property of others and not to seek to alter it or take it for selfish gain. Jacoby's alleged act removed not just trees, but the peace and the trust and the shared sense of the neighborly respect that previously existed. The decision to destroy what another family had cherished for over 50 years just to elevate the price tag of one's own home reveals the consequences of disregarding these long-standing boundaries and what they represent. The beauty of the oceanic view came at the cost of another's investment, privacy, and family heritage. To not remove the ancient landmark in the proverb is not just an agricultural injunction from antiquity. It is a timeless command to respect what others have established, especially when it stands between our ambition and what is just and right and good. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.